This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know. Could kill
the order of hornets.
Whoopies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo.
All right. The news. The question is.
Yeah.
If you knew that you were going to be on that flight that turned upside down, but you knew you would survive, but you had to go through the whole thing, would you do it for 30 grand?
Yeah. You don't know if you'd be one of the ones that gets injured or not, but you survive. No,
everyone survives.
Everyone survived.
Of course.
And they claim, Delta claims, I'm reading this on TMZ's website right now, no strings attached with this $30,000.
There are new developments this morning on that Delta Airlines plane crash in Toronto this week. Delta is offering passengers who were on the flight $30,000 apiece. Airline officials telling customers the offer has no strings attached and does not affect rights. The plane was carrying 76 passengers, 4 crew members, when it burst into flames upon landing and flipped upside down.
How much money do you think... For a guy who's constantly dreaming about suing someone other than my own company, I never want to put a small mom pop out of business, never want to sue my own company. But I'm always looking at those people who get $1 million for suing Kellogg's or whatever, those frivolous lawsuits. When something like this happens where there's a plane crash and everybody survives, my immediate thought should be, I wonder how much they'll sue for. I mean, the plane flipped upside down and caught on fire. It was pretty traumatic. I'm sure people sue for that sort of thing. They probably... Maybe they all sue. I just sort of forget about it. And maybe the news talks about it. Maybe they don't. But even if they do, maybe it's so far down the road that I just forget all about it. Because I would think if Delta's offering $30,000 to each passenger, and on top of that saying it won't prevent you from suing us down the road, then $30,000 must be nothing. I mean, it is newsworthy. It's in the news today. But I could see them saying 30 grand, but you can't sue us. That stuff happens all the time.
Of course.
But if they really mean it, that this is no strings attached, then they must plan on paying out a lot of money, and I shouldn't be surprised by that. If you can win $1 million for being no real ginger...
I don't know how it works. There's got to be...
There's got to be people who have been in...
You know, there's act of God clauses in there, so I don't know. But the question is, would I take a $30,000? Sure.
Yeah. And they probably have to...
And would I get in that plane if they said this is what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And you're going to survive... But you got to walk out on the ceiling and everything else.
Yeah.
And okay.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
It's less dramatic, I suppose, when you know you're going to survive, obviously. But still, as you're coming in, you're going to be a little more nervous because you know that this thing's about to flip over and catch on fire. So there's that.
Well, you'd also be like, I hope they're right.
Well, that's true, that you will survive this.
I hope they're right.
Yeah, of course. But $30,000, I would take it. I mean, we can only say that because nobody died. If even one person died, then you can't really do this hypothetical, especially this soon. You could, but and when it comes to how much money they're going to pay out...
How many... Well, you'd have to do that math, but I'd probably, roll the dice.
I mean,
there's 90 people, like, one out of 90, okay.
I know. You start to think about it. Uh-huh. I mean, certainly, if you don't have kids... I mean, one out of 90 is not great. You hate to think that today you have a 1 in 90 chance of dying.
You probably do.
That's probably a little higher than normal, but you're right. It is still
right.
Really good chance that you'll be okay. It's basically free money. I guess they'll probably have to wait until all of the investigations are done, and then once they can prove that there was some sort of fault, the airline's fault or the manufacturer's fault or both, then they probably figure, okay, this is how much money you can get. Koberger, Snow Cone's favorite serial killer. I guess he's not a serial killer. Are you a serial killer if you kill them all at once? If you do it all at one time? No. I don't know if that counts. I think you're just a
mass murderer.
No. Koberger, the Idaho guy who killed those college kids, his trial is supposed to be getting ready to start.
I was reading about him last night.
His defense team has been, because the defense team has been fighting forever. They wanted to relocate. They wanted all of this evidence excluded from trial. They said, hey, these searches were done improperly. You need to exclude all kinds of things, including the very important DNA evidence. And last month when they had those little hearings, we talked about it at the time. It looked like the judge wasn't interested in that
at all. They were arguing that the DNA on the knife sheath did not constitute probable cause, which let the judge say, DNA on a knife sheath is probable cause every day and twice on Sunday.
Exactly. So it was pretty clear then that he wasn't going to go with the defense's claim. And
a major setback for Brian Koberger's defense. Multiple new rulings from the judge set to oversee this quadruple murder trial, knocking down all of the defense team's efforts to get key evidence tossed out. Cell phone and email records, surveillance footage, even Koberger's past Amazon purchases, potentially all now fair game for prosecutors. But most significant of all, the judge refusing to toss out DNA evidence linking Koberger to the crime scene.
I know Amazon purchases.
Right.
One of the less embarrassing things on my phone. It's still enough that I don't need the cops getting a hold of that. I don't want them digging through all of my Amazon purchases. I don't even remember what's on there. But I know there's at least a few things that are embarrassing. I always think that when you see these stories, there's a suspect, they want to look at the phone. Maybe they think they are going to be able to get a warrant for it, or maybe they're just asking you nicely. It's almost like when they search your car. If you say, no, I'd rather you not search my phone, they act like that's probable cause. Like, oh, well, that's suspicious. We're going to hold on to your phone. But even if you didn't kill anyone, even if you didn't break any laws, you still don't want anyone looking at your phone. And I'm guessing for most people, that reason is probably the text messages that are saved over the course of years and years, and photos, right? Those would be the main things. You forget about stuff like every Amazon purchase you've ever made, because it's not that bad. But I don't know. I don't want them to see it. There's so much stuff on my phone that I don't want people to see, even if it's not illegal. And I'm not even positive it's embarrassing. I know I bought a sex toy on Amazon at least once because it got stolen off my porch.
Well, nobody cares.
So I know, but it's still, you're just like, I don't care. I don't need you going through all that stuff. If the cops took your phone right now, if they said, hey,
there's nothing on there.
You're not worried about it at all? Not even...
Because I don't think they're going to bring up the stuff that I think is embarrassing.
No, they won't. It's just
they're like, oh, we saw you buy a sex toy.
Yeah, no, they won't talk
say
about
that.
It.
Like, all right, fine.
You just have to go pick the phone back up from them, and they say thank you, and you look them in the eyes, and you think...
No, they bought sex toys, too. I just don't think anybody cares.
I know.
It's not a big deal.
I shouldn't. I don't know how the law works. I'm not an airplane accident investigator. I'm also not a lawyer. I'm surprising people today, but... I would think that when it comes to looking at Amazon history and that stuff, that maybe it's just kind of fair game if they can say, hey, we think that there are some connections here. If we can show, and Snowcone, you're the expert on this case, but if they can show, like, hey, he bought a knife with a sheath on this date, well, then the Amazon purchases are included, right?
Right.
Otherwise, maybe they're not. I don't know. I don't know what the rules are because I've never heard that come up before, but it makes perfect sense. I would guess that the prosecution has something that they think matters.
It's circumstantial, but it matters.
Something in his Amazon history. Because the defense was saying when it comes to the DNA, right, that they didn't have the right to collect the DNA.
Right.
It was like illegal search and seizure, basically, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, did they not have a warrant to go into that home? Do you need a warrant when there's dead bodies there?
They definitely had a warrant. Through the defense's argument, they went beyond the scope of the warrant.
Because they tested it for DNA. But my thought...
No. The home when they arrested him. They had a warrant to arrest him at his home in Pennsylvania, his parents'
home.
Well,
that's a separate issue,
but
right?
But that's beyond... They said they went beyond the scope of the warrant.
But they also talk about the warrant in regards to the knife sheath, which I thought was left behind at the house.
Scene.
That's my thing. If it's at the house,
on top of
then
bodies.
You can get it. But I assume that that's probably normal defense teams have to try everything. They throw it all out there. Laszlo thinks he's innocent.
That's the thing.
I don't know that he's innocent or guilty. I just don't
You've got your suspicions.
Yeah.
Well, he deserves a fair trial for sure. And this defense team is throwing everything at the wall as they should.
Yeah, that's their job.
That's totally fine.
That's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, I don't.
Nothing wrong with it.
And some of it sounds bizarre to me, like saying they shouldn't collect the DNA on the sheath, but I'm sure every defense team does that. This is just a really high-profile case. We mentioned the Delta settlement, the $30,000, but there was another plane crash last night, and the media, you know, they're asking questions. What's going on here? There's been a handful of air incidents in a relatively short amount of time. You had the Washington, D.C., a jet from Wichita that hit the helicopter. You had the ambulance airplane. You had the Delta plane just, you know, land and roll over and catch on fire. And now you have two planes, but these are two single-engine planes that collided mid-air
in another aviation accident, this one involving two small private airplanes Wednesday morning just outside Tucson. Officials say a Cessna and a Lance airplane, each with two people on board, collided mid-air near a small airport that does not have an air traffic control tower. The NTSB says while the Cessna landed uneventfully, the Lance airplane crashed on the runway and caught fire, killing two people.
Okay. So this story is everywhere I've seen it. And I know, Stoko, and you sent it to me last night. It's like, what's going on with airplanes? Is there something going on? Or do single-engine planes crash sometimes, and we normally wouldn't hear about it, but it's because of all this other stuff that's been going on?
I
mean, I don't know. You'd have to look at the stats. But certainly the media is acting like there's something going on with aviation. And they're too close together. To me, those things are... they're just not all that similar. A passenger jet versus two single-engine planes that are flying around with no... that just doesn't scare me. I'll get on an airplane still. This whole AP put out a thing to be like, how to survive a plane crash. Because flying in America seems to have gotten more dangerous.
Don't.
Yeah, no, I don't...
You
don't. I don't think I need to practice.
You either do or you don't. I don't think there's much you can do.
No, I think they've said in the past that people in the back of the plane have a better chance. But other than that... That's about it. I don't think you're going to teach me how to duck and roll to survive a plane crash. Guess what? Snowcone's favorite TV show did exactly what he said it would do. It became the number one TV show on Apple. It surpassed Ted Lasso, Severance, the show that he's been begging us to watch forever, and others, too.
Lasso's the one who turned me on to it.
Yeah. I'm sure the first season.
I need to watch it. I'm going to watch it. I just haven't started it yet. But it's huge. It's dethroned Ted Lasso.
The four of you have become known as the face of severance reform.
Okay, so we're not in trouble?
I don't think so. Milchick said we're famous.
All of us equally, or one of us is like the star?
Okay, does Ben Stiller write it too, or just direct it?
He's the showrunner.
So, but it's not written by
executive
him?
Executive producer, he you know, has a say in the writing. He's directed a few episodes.
Okay. Oh, I thought he directed
it. But he's like
it.
Ultimately in charge.
Gotcha. And it is sort of, I know so little about it other than they had these surgeries. They all have different memories. Is it one of these shows that when you finish an episode, you go online and you read about theories? Is that
100%.
The compelling part? Okay.
100%.
So it's a big mystery.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I personally enjoy getting on the subreddit and reading the theories and listening to podcasts about it. And that's, this show is prime for that.
For sure.
Prime.
And did you like it, Lasso?
No. But the only reason why, like, I think it's a good story. I like all of it. I'm just not a sci-fi guy. And it really is sci-fi looking. The way, you know, all the walls are white. The way you walk down. Just
had that maniac
got that whole vibe of this is a 1970s sci-fi thriller.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the story's fine. It's just, you know, I don't love it.
Not your thing?
Mm-mm.
I know Snowcone said this, and I heard others. So this is really the thing that pushed me over the edge. I'll give it a shot. Is that they said, unlike a lot of other mystery shows like Lost, where you're wondering what's going on, that this show supposedly has very satisfying ends to their seasons. Like, you do get something. Now, of course, there's still mystery, but...
still big mystery, still big cliffhanger, but you're getting answers.
But that they give you something. So I know that everyone says it's great. I didn't think Apple would be able to put anything up that beat Ted Lasso anytime soon. I'm kind of surprised, but they did. I don't know how big that makes it compared to other shows, but it's bigger than Ted Lasso, so I guess I need to watch it.
Up next, speaking in tongues.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill
the order of hornets. Groupies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo!
What's going on?
We are finishing up the news. So remember the war in the Ukraine, all that?
I've heard about it.
Yeah. And the United States sent a bunch of stuff over there, spent a lot of money, right? Some people had Ukrainian flags flying outside their houses. Maybe they still do. I don't know. I haven't noticed that.
I remember that.
People had stickers on their cars. It's been going on for a while. Got a new administration now. Trump doesn't seem to be...
those toothpick things?
Yes.
Thank you.
Trump doesn't seem to be as enthusiastic about it as the Europeans and Biden was.
Well, I saw Elon talking about, like, you know, this dude took pictures for Vogue when people were dying in the trenches. And I was like... Both sides do that, man. So, again, I know a lot of... To the right, I sound like a left-wing crazy person. And to the left, I sound like a Trump apologist. But, man, that whole, like... They were taking pictures at this time, or they were playing golf while a war was going on. Yeah. Like, they did it with, you know, Obama and Clinton, you know, Bush, like, back and forth. And then the left does it. It's like, dude, like, just, I don't know when that picture was taken, but it's, so what, he took a picture. I don't even know if he's posed for the picture. Like, that has nothing to do, like, what do you think he's doing? Like, he's like, you know what, people are dying, they're trying to invade my country. And, you know, I'd rather just be at Vogue now. So, right. Like, don't, not concerned. Like, that's not a thing, right? And it's like, you know, what do you think, like, you know, what do you think Biden is doing? And I saw, by the way, so the right people say you don't get mad. I saw something post today, like, you know, what the hell is Trump doing at the hockey game? Like, shouldn't he be busy? I'm like, dude, part of what he does is go to that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't like.
It's a waste. Look,
I can hate
time.
People. I can hate their policy and their politics. We've gotten so just minute.
Everything is
and
evil.
Dumbass.
Everything
Stop.
is the worst ever. You know, anything the other side does, it's the worst thing ever. This right here today and tomorrow right. will be the new worst. Can you believe this right. is the worst thing ever?
But that said, I was like, when did we become friends with Russia? Like, isn't that?
Well, when Trump got back into office. Putin liked Trump the first time around. He liked him so much that people
right,
thought
the
that.
Right, cause...
I feel like that's when the right started to kind of be like, remember they were waving Russian flags at the RNC or whatever that was?
Yeah,
they're like,
look,
wow,
man.
You're waving Russian flags?
But if you grew up with it like me and you're a Gen X guy...
It's very confusing.
I grew up in like a... Well, my parents were Republicans for the most part. Well, they're probably more Mitt Romney Republicans and Ronald Reagan Republicans, right? Well, Republicans, nonetheless, they did not like those Ruski pink commie bastards. They did not like that.
I don't think very many people did. But I, you know what, I was a little red dog.
And we, you know, had, right, you know, we had, you know, drills. They didn't say in case the Ukrainians nuke us.
Yeah.
They're like, when these Russian commie pinko bastards try to drop a nuke on us, you little S's get under your desk. Like, okay.
But... The war was won without a single shot fired. Soviet Union collapsed, and now they have elected.
Well, when I was
president.
In the military and when I was overseas for Desert Shield and Desert Storm, there was Cold War element to that.
Sure.
Certainly felt like it.
I'm sure.
We were not their fans.
Yeah. That's a lot of years of hating one another, you
right.
know? But
and then all of a sudden we're like, yeah, I don't know.
Time heals all wounds, I guess. It's just the enemy of my enemy. You know, it's the reverse of what it used
but
to be.
How did the Ukraine become our enemy? Like, somewhere between hide under your desk from the Pinko Commie Bastards Red Dawn movie, Ivan Drago is the worst guy ever.
And he stole Vietnam.
Right.
He's this villain.
Nikolai Volkov is the only friend he can find is the Iron Sheik. And Sergeant Slaughter will kick both their asses from that to Putin's right and this Ukrainian guy's a dictator. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's starting to act like one there. Zelensky starting to act like a dictator. So yeah, Trump and Zelensky have had a little war of words. It's not going
president
well.
President Trump is escalating his attacks on President Zelensky, describing the Ukrainian president as a dictator who's been conning the U.S. out of billions in aid.
The only thing... he was really good at was playing Joe Biden like a fiddle.
Trump said
like
he's negotiating to end the war with Russia, adding this ominous threat.
A dictator without elections. Zelensky better move fast or he's not going to have a country left.
So what's weird about that, too, is that it looked like he was reading a speech. So someone wrote that. But I don't know. Maybe that's not weird. But, yeah, he doesn't like Zelensky, I guess. And it doesn't look like we're going to
so
be helping
like,
Ukraine
okay.
out too much.
So now, Russia takes over the Ukraine?
It looks like there's got to be some sort of deal made. I mean, my guess would be that some of Ukraine is given over to Russia. which is what Russia wants, right? That's supposedly what they
want. I don't
wanted
know what the hell
beginning.
They want.
Supposedly they've been saying, we're trying to end fascism in Ukraine, a bunch of Nazis, mm-hmm. anti-Semites. So they're trying to end that because they've got these anti-Semite fascists right at their door. On top of that, they've got a lot of Russian, you know, loyal Russian citizens who are no longer citizens because they're basically trapped in what is now the Ukraine, and it should be part of Russia again. That's my very, very dumb understanding of how Putin feels about this, or that what he's saying, at least.
Now, so Putin's saying he wants to free
his whole excuse,
people?
His whole excuse for it in the beginning was like, there's these Russian people, they want us there. They don't want to live under this fascist, mm-hmm. you know, dictatorship, these anti-Semites. We got to go save our Russian brethren in these parts of the Ukraine, you know, that are being run by the Ukraine.
Okay.
But now, critics say that all Putin wants is to continue to take back over old Soviet Union countries. Just, you know, try and recreate the bloc.
Okay.
And from the beginning, it was clear that he at least wanted some of the land in Ukraine. And even the people who were really supportive of Ukraine, the people that sounded smart to me, that doesn't mean they are smart, but they certainly are smarter than me. The thing I heard from them a lot was that the only way that this thing will end is that eventually the Ukraine will have to give up some land. It doesn't make it right. Those are the people who were, you know, talking on the radio, who sounded very smart and sounded like they supported the Ukraine and they were upset about it, but they still said, like, unfortunately, Russia's probably not going to stop until you give them something. So I would assume that means we're at a point now where we're going to give them something. I did see today that there's some, it's not an envoy, but some group of anti-Russian politicians who were going to try and brief Trump and help him to realize why we shouldn't be helping Russia as some sort of last-ditch effort. I read that this morning. I don't know if that's already happened. I don't know how successful or unsuccessful that was.
Who are these people?
I don't know. I didn't recognize any of them. They're just people who are...
Germany guy or whatever kind of went off on Trump, right? Am I right about
maybe,
that?
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't see. I didn't see. I saw that other European leaders, so he's probably, mm-hmm. you know, they're obviously not happy. I mean, when the whole coalition came together when Biden was president and you had... what's his name? Merkel, France. And, you know, Europe was pretty supportive of it. It was the United States, it seemed like they wanted to make it clear that this was a joint effort. That's why they put France in charge, too. I think they didn't want to look like we're the ones telling everybody what to do still. So you actually try and have some sort of coalition together. But Putin and Trump got along pretty well last time around. So I guess once he took office, everyone said if Trump gets reelected, Putin will be happy because we'll basically stop sending so much money to Ukraine and he'll get what he wants, or at least some of what he wants. I mean, it looks like that's what's happening, but I don't know that Trump would even be mad if you said that. Like, hey, people said that you were just going to give in to Putin. I feel like the impression I'm getting from Trump is like, I should.
We'll waste the money. Like he says that he's going to give in to him. I think he feels like he's the only one that Putin's scared of.
Well,
he can tell Putin what to do. Like, so I get the vibe what he's telling us. True or not, I get the vibe Trump is saying is like, look, I don't need this Zelensky guy. He can't get peace. Let me talk to Trump. Let me talk to Putin, and we'll figure it out on our own. We don't need anybody else, and I'll stop this war in 24 hours.
Yeah, sort of.
He's like the art of the deal type of
Just flipped the script. Instead of saying, so you don't have to say I gave in to Putin or any of that. You say, no, Zelensky's a bad guy. You say what Russia's saying. Zelensky's a bad guy. He's in the wrong. So now you're just saying what Russia has been saying.
Yeah, of course.
And that way you're supportive of the war.
I'm not saying that he's not getting into him. I'm just saying.
Right. No, I'm saying that his angle has been.
But I think he'd argue with you about that and be like, no.
He would say Zelensky's a bad guy.
Yeah, Zelensky's a bad guy, and I'll kick Putin's ass, and he knows it.
Sure.
So he's got to listen to me.
Sure, yeah. But the message right now seems to be that Zelensky's a bad guy. We shouldn't have been supporting them. It's a waste of money, too. Spending way too much money. I mean, all this emphasis on saving money right now, about firing government employees and cutting these programs, well, that's a lot of money that you're sending to the Ukraine. It is a lot of money. You can't argue that. Even if you were totally in support of it, when you saw those numbers, you had to go, wow, that is a lot of money. But if you believe in it, you go, that's the right thing to do, though, then you're fine with it. But I don't think there's anyone that's like, it's not really that much money. It's, And then there's people say, oh, it's just old military stuff. And okay, maybe some of it, but it still costs money. It's still being used there.
Yeah.
Now, so it does cost us something. Two teenage girls in Houston, Texas were arrested because allegedly they had threatened a mass casualty event at their high school. This is the second time in like a month that the feds have caught a teenager before they did something, who said at least that they were going to do something. It's not clear to me, and maybe this news has come out since I pulled the story early this morning, but it wasn't clear to me at the time that I pulled the story how they found out about these threats, but it was the feds that found out, and they went and arrested
parents at a high school near Houston are in shock this morning, but breathing a sigh of relief after local police announced last night that they had stopped a possible plot to massacre students. Police say two girls ages 15 and 16 were discussing plans to use pipe bombs and guns to target Memorial High School in Harris County. Police arrested the girls after receiving a tip from the FBI about the teens making online threats.
Ah, that's so tough. First of all, you got minors. So I don't like charging minors as adults. I understand sometimes why they do it. You got a 17-year-old murder or whatever, but just change the rules in about how you can punish kids if you want to do that. I don't like charging them as adults if they're not adults. Why have the rule otherwise? Also, if you catch someone saying something, I do get nervous about the whole Minority Report aspect. Were they being serious? Where did they publish this stuff? Were they threatening people? Everything I've seen so far that I'm aware of, where these kids have gotten in trouble, they were threatening people, and it sounded serious, and I think you have to do something.
Yeah, for sure.
So shootings are a real thing. Now, when we were in high school, if we had a message board at school, and I said, I hate this place, I'd like to blow it up, probably wouldn't get in very much trouble.
Mm.
They might say, hey, you can't say that. Get off of there, Reed.
I think they call me and talk to me.
Exactly. That's it. You get a talking to. But
right,
the feds aren't
calling police.
They're not calling the feds.
They call my mom, maybe.
Right. If they called the feds, you'd be like, what do you want us to do? You want us to come beat them
I
up?
Guarantee you, I think kids did it, when I was
in high school,
where you got on the payphone and said, there's a bomb in the school.
Exactly.
And
people
then they're like, oh, we got to leave. But everybody, like the parents, everybody's like, some asshole called in a bomb threat. They have to let him go now because he didn't want to take a test. Nobody thought there's an actual bomb at the school. Like, that, what difference did anybody thought that?
Exactly.
They all
so
knew, like, oh, and I could hear my dad now, like, school's got to follow up. Like, some kid's got a bomb. He would be like, this is so stupid.
Yeah, that was it.
Why are they sending everybody home?
And like you said, you get a talking to.
That's
it. The feds are not interested back then. But now I understand why they have to be interested and why they have to do something about it. I'm going to keep an eye on it. I don't want them getting carried away, Finally, Laszlo, this is scary, but this is like one of those, hey, if you've got kids, you should be aware of this. A five-year-old in Michigan, where was he? It doesn't matter. A five-year-old in Michigan had apparently ADD and sleep apnea. And one of this kid's doctors or therapist, whatever he was, suggested that he be treated in a hyperbaric chamber. So the mom took him to one of these hyperbaric chamber clinics. It reminded me a little bit when I was reading about it this morning, like the dialysis centers. You have these kind of standalone places, and they're all across the country, and they do hyperbaric chambers. Hyperbaric chambers are FDA approved for a couple things, like if you have carbon monoxide poisoning, if you've got the bends, those things that you think about with a hyperbaric chamber. It's not FDA approved for these other things. Also, they say if you are thinking about getting treatment in one of these things or sending your kids to get treated in one of these things, you need to really check to make sure that basically that it's got good reviews and that the government has said, we inspect this place, it's okay. Because this place apparently was a little shady where she took her kid. The mom is sitting there in the waiting room. The kid's in the hyperbaric chamber. Boom. He catches on fire.
What?
Mom rushes in there, tries to pull him out of this tube where he's burning to death, and she gets burned really badly in the process, and the five-year-old died.
This has been a parent's worst nightmare.
The five-year-old was killed in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber at the Oxford Center in Troy, Michigan. Thomas was receiving treatment for ADHD and sleep apnea, his mother in the waiting room.
She rushed back, and her son was engulfed in flames, and she tried and tried to get him out, and she suffered very bad burns.
So, she's suing, by the way. The lawyer said they'll be suing, but
A hyperbaric chamber?
Pure oxygen. That's why it catches on fire, because it's like three times the amount of oxygen that's in the normal atmosphere. So it's pure oxygen, and it helps people if they get like carbon monoxide poisoning. That's the main thing. If your family got carbon monoxide poisoning, they take you to KU Med or one of these places. I don't know where exactly, but I remember a kid across the street from me. It happened when I was little. His whole family got carbon monoxide poisoning. They all had to go be in a hyperbaric chamber for it seemed like quite a while. They do it if you get. I like the bends. These are really the two things I can think of. And those might be the only two things that the FDA has approved it for. But they will recommend it. Some people will recommend it for lots of other things. Apparently ADHD and sleep apnea are one or two. But if you are recommended this by someone, just, beware.
And make sure, start on fire?
Make sure you look into it. Yeah, because they are dangerous because it's pure oxygen, so they can easily catch on fire. So you're supposed to make sure that this place is inspected and that it's essentially government.
That's the worst story I've heard.
Right? Man. Is that not horrible? I don't like talking about kids dying, but my God.
In front of you?
This is actually one of those stories where I go, it's so bad, I feel like I have to tell you. The worst. And they say how badly burned she is. Of course she is. Can you imagine your mom trying to rip you out of that thing?
I wish you'd even told
your mom would. Your mom wouldn't give up.
You shouldn't even brought this up.
I know. It's bad. But could save someone's life, Stokone. You never know.
98.9 The Rock. Your home for the Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.